Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Sunbury Motors Studio is brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, which is 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Hilsers General Store Hotline. Open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilsers General Store. 7 miles south of Seals Grove on Routes 11 and 15. And, of course, you can always go to www.hilsersstore.com. The number 1-800-795-9565. You like to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. Always more fun for me to take calls and find out what you wish to talk about. We've run the gambit. We're going to have Dick Girardi today. Went with Gary Dolphin instead today. DJ will be on the show tomorrow to break down the Final Four.
You know, you mentioned Hilsers General Store. This would be a good time, maybe even a good Saturday morning to get to Hilsers General Store, pick up some of the stuff you'll need for the yard to clean up, fix up. The hardware store has a whole lot of stuff that you'll need for the spring. I mean, this is going to be a good weekend to actually get some maybe planting done and get some work done around the house.
Exactly right. Or if you're like me, you can go buy it and then say,
find somebody else to do it.
Maybe next weekend.
Well, right. You know, at least you got it done. At least you bought it. That's the first step.
Right. Exactly right. You can say you're preparing for the big moment. And, of course, today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-694 or online at REWfinancial.com.
Give me that number again so I can write it down.
800-609-9484.
Okay, thank you.
Here is the story from today's State of the NCAA press conference.
State of the NCAA press conference.
Well, I mean, that's what it's supposed to be.
It's, I know, but
like
it's funny.
When Roger Goodell or David Stern or Gary Bettman or Bud Selig do theirs. I believe Roger Fincham does his at the Players Tournament, whatever.
It's just funny.
Yeah. This is from SB Nation. This is their story. And it goes back to what I was talking about the first half hour. Here we go. The NCAA president took the mic in Atlanta, where he feistily defended his resume and the NCAA standing amid multiple controversies and investigations. He frustrated a display. He showed the frustration display of a man growing aware that he is on his way off of the highest perch he'll ever reach. Mark Emmert began his time with a lengthy introductory comment, and I know it lasted 7 minutes. Revealed very little, and which took many as a way to cut down his time that he had to spend actually answering questions about the botched Miami investigation, about Penn State and the Free Report, Syracuse's annual scandal news, the latest from Auburn, and the Mike Rice episode, and so forth. He did have to answer those questions, though not very many of them, and not to anyone's satisfaction. Anything wrong with the NCAA's enforcement methods has already been bathed in light and corrected in Emmert's view, and any further necessary corrections are his responsibility. USA Today enlightened his responsibility incredibly when it came to Montana State, UConn, LSU, and so forth. Those investigations all, by the way, took place after he had left for the next job. He directly sparred with CBS Sports' Dennis Dodd, who recently called for Emmert's job, both during and immediately after his time on the stage, showing defiance and insisting he's not going anywhere. SB Nation, by the way, has also called for his job multiple times. Now, one thing that's interesting is that At one point, he said, we're going to be launching a variety of advertisements aimed at youngsters. He said, this is going to be outstanding. He also talked at one point about student athletes. And this has been a big thing when you go to the NCAA tournament. They talk about there's a lot about on the message board on the sideline about student athletes. I would like to ask him exactly how he benefited the student athletes at Penn State University. What has he done for the student athletes at Penn State University? Told them they couldn't go to a bowl game. Told them no matter what they did, told the coaching staff, you know, they can't give out as many opportunities to student athletes. I mean, what did he do and the NCAA do for the student athletes that I see every single day? Can anybody answer me that question?
Can he answer that question?
No, we can't answer that question.
I'd like to know who he fired a parting shot at, saying, I know you're disappointed, but I'm still here. Was that at Dodd?
That was at Dennis Dodd.
Yeah, yes. that doesn't surprise. I wondered if that's who it was. That doesn't surprise me.
It was at Dennis Dodd.
To say that Dodd's not a big fan might be an understatement.
No. So the newspaper story, of course, dealt with Montana State allegations, UConn allegations, $1 billion. There's a chunk of it that was either overrun or is missing. The state launched an investigation. He left in 98. State was looking into it in the early 2000s. Stuart Mandel took a shot at him and on Twitter said, Emmert says it's not his judgment call whether Rutgers leadership exercised lack of institutional control. And then he said, got that, Penn State?
Yeah, I didn't even hear or see that tweet, but I was thinking exactly the same last line. I'm like, wait a minute.
So it was, he did not, this was not pretty today.
I think USA Today said he has, let's see, there's an interesting stat.
His statement, by the way, was 2,576 words.
Wow. Here we go. Since the hiring of Emmert in 2010, the NCAA has handed down 48 major rule violations against member schools, a rate that's far higher than any of his predecessors, 25% higher than the previous NCAA president, and doesn't even include Penn State and Miami.
Right. Well, they never investigated the Penn State situation. They just handed down judgment. And as I've said the entire time, what's one of the more important parts of getting to the truth? Hearing people answer the allegations and then deciding whether you believe them or not. So far, the people accused in that have not answered the allegations. As I said, Louis Free said in his own press conference, he started out, said, look, because of the ongoing investigation, I could not interview X, Y, and Z, and I couldn't interview Mike McQuarrie. Well, what does that tell you? Technically, it shouldn't be done yet.
Well, and I'm not alluding to the fact that maybe he shouldn't be investigating things, or, you know, that the fact that he's 25% higher is bad. It's just, I think he rushes to judgment.
I have no problem with him investigating anything. I would have no problem if they stepped in here and investigated here. I don't care. That's fine as long as you give, you know, one of the things that you're supposed to allow the institution to do, the bylaws of the NCAA, you're supposed to give them a response. You're supposed to give them a response to the allegations. Well, you can't have a response unless the people responsible or in the position to answer the questions answer the questions. If it takes time, it takes time. The most important thing is that, look, if you hear their side of the story as to what they're telling you, and they give you a full feel as to what they're thinking, how they went about it, what Pennsylvania law is in terms of informing the second mile, which based on all reports they did, right? Then if you believe them, you render one judgment. If you don't believe them, then you render a different judgment. But I don't want to hear that they're all about the student athlete when I look at what they did to the student athletes here who 10 years, 11 years after whatever are looking around saying, what did we do? Right? What did we do? I don't know. First of all, I don't know what rule Penn State broke.
I've been trying to figure that out for months.
I mean, maybe say it's rule 10.4. I don't know. But today was not a shiny moment for the president of the NCAA.
Well, he always
at his press conference.
You know, one of the things that the USA Today article, and I had a chance to check that out earlier, was talking about is he talks about the command structure of the NCAA. And he compared it to the United Nations in its decision-making power. Like he's not like his counterpart in the NFL, where he can make judgment without going to a board. You know, he has a board that he has to go to first, but then goes out and bypasses any process whatsoever in the Penn State situation, and then in Miami's situation, ends up violating a few processes while investigating it, and it's okay. Now, am I oversimplifying it, or does that just not make sense?
No, but a lot of people underneath him always seem to be the ones that have to catch
a lot of
flack.
Listen, that's
not a good pattern of leadership, in my opinion.
I always like to use the analogy, if the team's not winning and you've tried everything else, usually that goes to the coach that gets canned first. Well, guess what? The coach is still there in this case.
Well, I mean, look, I'm not trying to be vindictive here. I'm trying to objectively look at what he's doing here. I mean, we haven't heard from Penn State from the principals involved yet. It's okay to take some time. When it comes to a situation like Penn State, what's the number one situation? Did you get the alleged perpetrator, prove that he's a perpetrator, and get him off the streets? Correct? That's the number one priority. After that, then you can take your time and figure out the rest of it. You know, what did they do? Why did they do? I'd like to get some answers. You know, and if it takes some time, it takes time. They didn't take any time. They said, you're done. They took the report as is, a report that admitted right away that, look, couldn't interview Tim Curley, Gary Schultz, because of the upcoming trials. Understandable. Did not interview Mike McQuarrie because he's the key witness in those trials. Okay, understandable. And Joe Paterno wanted to cooperate, and they said that, wanted to cooperate. And because of his subsequent illness and then death, we could not. Which bothered me when I heard very, very much Director Free changed that story when the paternal report came out.
Very few people talked about that, and that bothered me too.
That bothered me no end, because the statement he made in July was that Joe was going to cooperate. And it indicated he would cooperate. He said that and then changed his story when the paternal report came out. And that bugged me when I heard that. Now, the Miami situation. They admit they botched they admit they botched the investigation. Syracuse has been under investigation for a while. I mean, the Sutherland kid gets to play in this year's tournament. I'd like to know exactly what he did to not play in the middle of the season.
Well, you mentioned people getting fired. I mean, Miami's a great example of that. The Miami situation, with everything moving as fast as it did, he overstepped his bounds, ended up firing employees that thought they were doing what they were supposed to do.
Well, I mean, here's one. I mean,
that's a leadership problem right there.
Sure. Well, Harry Truman had a sign in his desk says the buck stops here.
Yes, very well reported over the years.
Look, I'm not calling for anybody's job here, but the USA Today story is not in any way flattering to his leadership abilities.
No.
Or to mobility. Is now is one the impression A got out of Dodge to the next. I mean, and each stop, it's, you know, more prestigious, more money, more prestigious, more money, more prestigious, more money, which is fine. There's nothing, we all want that. But every single time there's left a wake of a problem, why is there a problem every single place they go? And that's a question that needs to be answered. But I guess Dennis Dodd and I guess he made some snide remark to Dodd leaving. Well, that's not leadership either.
Oh, he definitely made a snide remark to him.
I mean, that's not leadership either. So.
Yeah, that's the one I read you earlier that he made the comment. And like I said, I wasn't exactly sure, but I figured it was the Dodd. I know you're disappointed, but I'm still here. Wow. The last four words of that sentence are the ones that I'm sorry, that comes across extremely arrogant.
I really don't.
If he's still there in 2014, there's a serious problem in the NCAA.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. He's there now. When it comes to caring about student-athletes, there's a group of student-athletes I watched in the practice field yesterday that don't feel like they were cared for. Okay. Right. If we don't take a break, I know you'll kill me. And not only that, but local district attorneys will bring you up on charges if you do. All right.
You're on News Radio 1070. Maybe Emirates people will investigate me and I'll be fine.
You'll be good. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
So we head to the news here at the bottom of the hour. Our show today brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or go online to rewfinancial.com. Sarah, who does a great job at the podcast every day, is here with the news as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Our number 1-800-795-9565 in the Hilsher's General Store hotline, powered by Hilsher's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. I'd like to get your reaction to what we've been talking about. Okay, serious issues. I mean, this has been as serious an issue week as we've seen in the in a long time. Auburn allegations into Roberts on the 2010 national championship team. This is the day after Mike Rice is out at Rutgers after the videotape of Rutgers practices from the first 2 years surfaced. Followed by the Ed Rush situation with the Pac-12. The press conference today done by Mark Emmert after a scathing report by USA Today about him. That's the atmosphere with which they was conducted. So, your reaction to that and more. Roy Halladay, by the way, not good again last night. Feast or famine, either struck you out or else you got on base.
As long as you made contact with the ball, you were fine.
I think he's gonna have to take a long look at himself as to maybe reinventing how he pitches, because something is not right. This is not like Tiger Woods trying to reinvent his swing and taking time to do so, and then all of a sudden things come together. It's a little different for a pitcher.
Well, right now, the first two starters for the Phillies have been shelled.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but you know Cole Hamels is fine. That's not an issue. Cole Hamels is not coming off an injury. He may be feeling the pressure of a huge contract. That's a possibility. That's going to have to be watched and will bear watching all season. Facing the Atlanta Braves, though, is not the ideal way to start the season on the road. That team has the best closer in the game right now, an excellent starting rotation, and a lineup that they have bolstered with the Uptons to go with the other players that they already had in place, Hayward, Freeman, the acquisition of Ugla from the Marlins a couple of years ago, now the Uptons. It's a heck of a lineup. They still don't have their catcher back yet either. Braves are very talented.
Pirates had an afternoon game today. How are they making out?
I didn't lost.
Is that a final now?
It should be.
Well, you no, automatically I mean, said lost, assuming they would lose, or what?
Well, they were losing 3-0 in the ninth inning. I mean, I knew that already. They gave up a 2-run homer in the top of the ninth to put it away, and they went 3-2. The Cubs did.
Cubs won. Oh,
yeah, the Cubs. Cubs went up 3-0. They won 3-2.
That would have been funnier though the other way.
No. It's Pirates scored two runs. That two run homer they gave up in the ninth inning was the difference. Pirates McCutcheon and Gabby Sanchez had back to back RBI singles in the ninth inning. Yeah, well-pitched game from James McDonald, went seven, gave up two hits and a run. But again, the Pirates only got four hits today.
Ouch.
Other scores today look like this. Washington leads Miami 2-1 in the bottom of the second at Nationals Park. Cubs beat the Pirates 3-2. In the American League, the Orioles and Tampa Bay are 2-2 bottom of the fifth. Kansas City on the south side leading the White Sox 3-1 top of the ninth. Minnesota at Target in the top of the ninth, looking to close out the Tigers, leading 8-2. Oakland leads Seattle 2-0 in the top of the fifth.
And the Pods already, won today.
Already today, finals include the Reds beating the L.A. Angels 5-4. The Padres win their first game. They beat the Mets 2-1. And, of course, the Cubs beat the Pirates 3-2. Tonight, Phillies played Atlanta. That's at 7:10 tonight. It's Cliff Lee's turn tonight. And Medlin will go on the mound for the Braves, trying to salvage the final game of the series. Emphasis on salvage.
I'll say.
Cleveland will play at Toronto tonight. Red Sox look for the sweep against the Yankees.
A quick drift back into high school basketball for a few minutes. Got some news for three area players that have made the Pennsylvania Sports Writers All-State team third team. Ernie Tyler of Shikellamy making the Class AAA team. Lewisburg's Travis Conrad and East Juniata's Nick Lorenzo both were AA third team members. So Conrad and Lorenz both AA third team members. Ernie Tyler a AAA. Ernie averaged 13 a game. Had 43 three-pointers this year, scored at least 20 points three or four times. Conrad had a great season for Lewisburg, actually matched up with East Juniata and Lorenz in the District 4 consolation game, as a matter of fact. Conrad had 15 a game, and Lorenz averaged 21 a game for East Juniata.
Congratulations to them. Pirates had 11,600 today at PNC Park.
Ouch.
Brutal.
Did that pay for the hot dog vendors?
That's brutal. Let's see. The other finals, let's see. Cincinnati was at home today. They won 5-4 over the Angels. They drew 24,000. The other afternoon, that's done. Mets and San Diego. Padres won 2-1. Stoltz had a nice outing. He was the winning pitcher. And they drew, where is it here?
21,519, the paid attendance today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 51% full.
Phillies always did well, too, with their, they used to call them business person specials years ago.
Yeah, it's also 48 degrees. I'm sorry.
Good point.
I mean, that's a big issue this time of the year. The weather that we've had here will not let go of us. It's like it's up to almost 50 today. It's like a little. It's in the low 50s. It's sunny. It's going to be like that tomorrow. But we have had this hang on. We never had a January thaw, any of that stuff. It's just been cold the entire time.
I said it's punishment for last spring.
We had last year, we had that warm stretch in January, and then it got cold again for a prolonged period of time. We had snow.
Oh, it was March that was beautiful, though. Yeah, we had temperatures in the 80s for a while.
Yeah. Well, we'd like to get your reaction. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. As I pointed out about the Mike Rice thing, you know, Everybody this week, of course, called for his head, and justifiably so. I mean, once you see the tape, I'm sorry, nobody keeps their job after seeing that tape, and that's the mistake that Tim Pernetti made. You can't look at that tape and not say the guy has to be gone. You just can't. Is the piling on that's happened this week. The story was out there December 13th. I've gone back. Where are the columns calling for his job then? Now, the difference is we didn't see it. But the report was out there in the Newark Star Ledger. Basketball's thrown at players. Language, which we knew during a game was a problem, because a year ago against Louisville, I mean, it was Mike Rice was so bad that he almost got sanctioned by Rutgers then for his sideline demeanor. And if somebody can tell me how throwing basketballs at people and doing what he did motivates, if somebody can explain to me where the motivation is in that. Who motivates like that? That's what gets me. That's how warped it is. It is so warped that he thought he was getting the best out of them by doing that. Things are different now than they were in terms of perception 30, 40, 50 years ago. There are cameras everywhere now, whether now, of course, that's a practice camera, and Eric Murdoch is the one who secretly got the tapes and ran it off. He could. He had access to them. He was a part of the organization until, I think, June 30th last year. He wanted to do some camp. Mike Rice told him no. He went to the camp anyway, so he didn't get his contract renewed. In other words, he was fired. Okay. If Eric Murdoch is not fired, my question is, do the tapes come out? The next part of this is as follows. Every player does an exit interview, not with the coach, not with the assistants, but every exit interview is done with an administrator. And I don't care whether you graduate, transfer, or opt for the NBA. They set up an exit interview with. And exit interviews take place. What did the players exiting, now with no fear of reprisal whatsoever from the coaching staff, if there was any, no intimidation, what did they say in their exit interviews? Did they say this occurred? Because they're going to be asked, what was your experience like? And who's the administrator in charge of Rutgers basketball? Who did the exit interviews? What were they doing? They, in the exit interviews, and never found that, if any, where it was the temperature. That's big issue. That a goalkeeper. Because every player that plays, I don't care whether it's a team, the men's basketball team, the football team, or the men's soccer team. Everybody has an exit interview when they leave about their experience there with an administrator. What was said in the exit interviews at Rutgers about Mike Rice? Now, we're in a different time now. Bottom line, ends on. You just can't. Now, I can stand in the old. I have five of you, and I'm trying to demonstrate a play. So by the shirt, I grab you by the shirt. I say, okay, Mike, I need you. Okay, you got to go here. Billy, you have to go here. I'm okay with demonstration. That, to me, is permissible, putting hands on somebody else. But that's it. And it is obvious what the line is. There is not a fine line. Okay? There's not a fine line. And it's easy to delay moving pieces, doing something bigger. And by the way, moving chess pieces out of here, we grab, get over here, you get over here. We know that that crosses the line. Like I said, it's obvious the line is not blurred. Guy comes over, you slap him on top of the helmet, great job. Slap him on the back, jobs, great job. Okay, that's permissible contact. We all know that. It is obvious what is not permissible contact. Obvious. And you can't put your hands on somebody else on the other side of the line. Mike Rice obviously did that. And then on top of it, the throwing of objects at somebody. There's no way you throw an object at somebody. I mean, throw it with great velocity at somebody unless you're angry. Especially with one hand. Those were not chest passes to boom. Those were one-hand throws. It's obvious. There is not a fine line. There's no fine line. It is obvious as to what is and what is not permissible contact. There's no fine line. It's easy to delineate. I'm demonstrating a pick and roll, whatever. Boom, you come up, you hit me chest to chest. I roll off it and go. It's obvious? Of course it is. Okay? I'm showing on the football field how to come out of a stance, boom, and deliver shock to a guy wearing pads. Boom, I come out, boom, do that. Permissible. It's obvious what you're doing. You're teaching. In a contact sport. And it's obvious when it's over the line. He obliterates the line. What gets me, though, is that there were no calls for his firing within the media. And since Christine Brennan's the one that put out, you know, the media has to be the one to look after blah, 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 blah. I don't want her looking after anything. Okay? I don't want her looking after anything. I don't even want her looking into a garbage strike. Okay? I mean, my respect for her is just, it doesn't even exist. But I went back to see, and she wrote a beautiful article, by the way, on Victor Cruz. But her article, her column was about Newtown and Victor Cruz visiting one of the families because he was a hero to one of the young people that was killed in Newtown. So it was a beautiful article. But there were no articles during the 20-day suspension time where she called for him to be fired. And the story was out there in the Newark Star-Ledger. Not about being grabbed or touched or pushed. That wasn't in there. But basketballs being thrown at players and verbal abuse was in the Newark Star-Ledger December 13th. Where were the calls then? And remember, you're a sports section, so you have to keep your eye on the ball on sports. You have a news department that looks after Newtown. Mike Rice should have been fired then. He did get fired now, but he should have been fired then. But I don't want to hear the media being the watchdog when, look, when he came back, I knew why he was gone. I read the story. Even when I was going through something awful, I knew about what was going on. And I knew when he came back. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Dow Global presents.
No. his voice cracks me up. All right. The NFL will be putting cameras in locker rooms. Home team's discretion is, you know, whether you can see the home team locker room when you're there. The NFL only has a 12-minute halftime anyway. I mean, there's only a 12-minute halftime. It's not like college football has a 20-minute halftime. I mean, I'd like to see college football go back, go knock it down to 12 minutes as well. But, of course, that would knock out whatever time the band's on the field, which I understand that.
Real question is whether the microphone will be active in the locker room.
No, I don't think so.
Now, that would be entertaining.
But I'll be honest with you. You know what? A lot of halftime is like, okay, you can take a quick break, go out, make a couple quick points, okay, then break, and then go back out. It's not as – I think everyone thinks that, well, all these adjustments they made. Come on. It's not quite what the world perceives it to be. But you have to do everything, and I've talked about this. You must. The NFL's going the right direction with this. And I don't care about the locker room cam. I could care less what goes on in the locker room. But if they want to do that, it's fine. But they're showing replays in the stadium left and right. You cannot be afraid to show the crowd what people at home are seeing. Hey, don't be afraid of it. You already have instant replay to begin with. So you have your backup system. So allow the people in the stadium to see what the people at home see. College sports needs to do that. Because replay capability is in stadiums everywhere we go. Penn State's going to install, I believe, HD boards. Yes. I don't know if they'll be ready for this season, but the season after. Perfect. That's what you need to do. You need to make the stadium experience better than the home experience. That's why this 1st and 10 line, I'm really anxious to see if it's going to work in the NFL. Because if it does, it'll go to college football. Don't be afraid. Hey, stop protecting the officials. You already have a backup system. It's called replay. Just show it.
I got a great idea. You know, leave the ticket price the same. Try and make the parking a little more affordable. And don't make it $8 for a hot dog and soft pretzel.
Well, first of all, you don't. The people don't do that, and that's where you're wrong. All right? What they do
people
is they
do
bid
what?
The $8 for whatever, it's not the university that does that.
No.
It's not the team that does that. They bid it out to a company, and then the company pays the money, and then to get their money back, you know, this is what they do. I mean,
it's
the company. It's the one in charge of the concessions. Parking's another thing, but take, for example, Penn State. You have to know what the rules are, for example. People go, it's $40 to park. No, it's not. If you are smart enough and capable enough, and most people are, to go online, you can get your parking pass for $10 during the week.
My point is, I still haven't found the hot dog that tastes as good as $8.
Don't buy it.
And that's the way I get around it.
Right? You know, I mean, why people ask why ticket prices go up and so forth in colleges. You know what a big reason why? Tuition. You know, like tuition, remember, scholarships just aren't free. There's a financial exchange that happens.